Hey, Rock Movers, and thank you for joining me for episode 25 of The Rock Movers. Today, you're going to get to meet someone that I just am so excited to share with you, my friend, Michael S. Siever. Michael is an award-winning executive coach, leadership consultant, keynote speaker, and author of the book, I Know. He's also on a mission to unlock human potential to help people uncover and live their purpose and live a more meaningful and authentic life. His unique methodology has revolutionized how leaders can live authentically and how organizations can engage their employees. He offers a no-nonsense strategy to help people find confidence in their life's narrative, commonalities across generations working today, and develop ways to communicate with emotional intelligence. As I mentioned, his newest book, I Know, is a practical guide for awakening to the power within and finding a work-life integration. I personally read the book, we talk about it in this episode, and I can't wait to share this amazing leader, speaker, and my friend, Michael Siever, with you on today's episode of The Rock Movers. Let's begin. Not only is he all of the things that I've shared in my introduction, he's an author, he's a coach, he's a speaker, he's a trainer, but Michael Siever is also someone that has poured into my life, and I cannot wait to share him with you. So without further ado, my fabulous friend, Michael Siever. Michael, thank you so much for being here today.
It is my pleasure, Karen. Thank you for gifting me some of your time.
Oh, I can't wait to share all of your awesomeness and share what you're doing so that other people can tap in, can follow you, can link in and learn from you, because my husband and I both have read your book, and we'll start there first. I just want to congratulate you on the book and just say, how has this book changed your life, and how are you using it for yourself to move your own rocks?
Yeah, thank you. So the book is called I Know. It's a practical guide for awakening to what's within and finding work-life integration. And I've been told for a number of years that I needed to write a book prior to 2020. And I did not have the courage. I was very scared. I was very nervous. I was very fearful, actually very naive about the writing process. And so in the summer of 2020, after COVID started, I actually had some time to be able to really work through the book. And that was one of the biggest blessings of my life, was having that summer to be able to really challenge myself, to reflect on my life. I hired a writing coach to help. And so the fear, the stress, the anxiety, the nervousness, the naivete all went away, because I intentionally started to tell my story broadly. And so my relationships with my family is different. I've had a number of people around the world that have, you know, been interested with the book. So it's actually been really, really interesting to have the experience of challenging oneself, overcoming the challenges, and then helping others kind of do the same, right? So then you fast forward a couple of years to today, and I'm like, okay, so what rocks am I moving now? Well, I've built up this courage, right? I've built up the ability to tell my story, but there are three major things, Karen, that I can share with you that
okay,
I'm
confronting.
That I feel like I'm confronting right now. So number one, abandonment. Number two, ownership. And number three, acceptance. Now I'll connect those not only to present, but also back to the book. So abandonment. At the very beginning of the book, I tell a story about how I was raised in a small town in West Michigan in a farmhouse. And although my parents were there, they emotionally abandoned me. Right. So very different time in human history. So I have throughout my life felt various periods of abandonment. I felt very alone. So then I navigated a series of relationships in my life where people were unfaithful to me. I felt abandoned in other ways in those relationships. And so what I'm focused on right now is, how can I have more dialogue with myself so that I don't feel abandoned? How can I have more dialogue with my partner, Tiffany, so that I can not feel abandoned in the relationship? So one of the biggest rocks that I'm confronted with, not only did I write about it in the book, but I'm confronted by it today, is abandonment. And that's part of my life.
Yeah. I think what you just said, because we've spoken, I'm adopted, so very much can resonate with that feeling of abandonment. But it's important, I think, for our listeners to hear that even though you deal with something and you process it, it doesn't mean it magically goes away.
Yeah.
We're human beings. And so in the process of being, things will circle back or things will come up from time to time. So even though we've moved that rock out of our bag, there's still the lessons there that we can use as things pop up. So I think that's so good that you share that. And the way that you wrote it in the book and how you shared your story in the book was so, so eloquently poised to it, because you're not adopted, but it still resonated with me in a very different way, because I could see myself in those feelings.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that I get that. I understand that. I've struggled with that rock as well. So thank you for being vulnerable in the book about that, because that was very, that part of it really, really resonated with me. So, okay. So number two.
So thank you for sharing that, Karen. Two, ownership, maybe it's responsibility. I've noticed over the last couple of years, especially since writing the book, there's been ebbs and flows in my life, right? Tiffany and I have moved across the country. She's in the process of opening up a wine and champagne bar. There are different periods of the year where my business goes up and down, right? Depending on what's happening in the marketplace. So I realized that there were certain times of the year that I felt complacent in various parts of my life. So what I did just a couple of weeks ago is I went through all of my annual subscriptions and memberships and canceled 90% of them.
Wow.
Right. So to different professional networking groups and for different like SiriusXM, I just went through and canceled 90% of them. And it was my intentional focus of saying, it's easy for me, because of the feelings of abandonment, to get connected to a person, a thing, a business or whatever. But I wanted to take a different, deeper, new level of ownership for myself and my life. And that means that I had to look at myself through a different lens. I had to sever ties, if you will, with some of those things that were comfortable and take a new or deeper sense of responsibility. So a massive rock, in addition to abandonment, kind of connected to it in some way, is this idea of how can I overcome those feelings of complacency to take a deeper level of ownership to ascend to my life's next level?
Wow. So this is taking the power back from that feeling of abandonment and not abandoning yourself.
Well said. Yes.
I love that. That is very, very much aligned to the journey that I'm on, because when you feel abandoned, you tend to do things that really reinforce those thoughts, feelings, emotions of this is why I was abandoned. So then I abandon myself emotionally. I don't show up for myself. So when you begin to do the opposite, what you're doing, and you show up for yourself and you begin to acknowledge that, no, I'm valuable. I'm worthy and important to me. And in this moment, this is how I show that. This is how I represent that. And I love that you did the clearing of of all of the subscriptions. I have also taken a really hard look at mine, and I'm like, why does this charge keep popping up? I don't even know what this is.
Yeah.
So it's funny that I didn't really correlate it to the abandonment, but I can see how it would definitely be that thing of belonging that you try to, you know, and you also the FOMO. I'm missing out on something, right? If I don't sign up for this, I'm missing out. And then I have so many, I don't get to engage with any of them well.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing anyone a service.
Yeah, that's such a great way to say it, Karen. And so if for those listening, Karen's a little bit more of an extrovert. Michael is a little bit more of an introvert. So I have what's called FOJO. I have fear of joining in. So she is more of the FOMO. I'm more FOJO. But it was like there was a complacent nature to my life, being an introvert, liking to spend the time alone. And I realized that I needed to cancel some of the things that were comfortable for me in order to make space for new, deeper levels of responsibility and or relationships and or challenges to myself. And then that leads into the third rock, Karen. This is a big one for me. Because of all those years of being abandoned or not taking ownership, is the third rock is acceptance of myself. And I mean that at a very deep level, right? So I'm this task-oriented person, very introverted. I have natural tendencies to fearing change. And when we fear change, it's nice to be able to control a future expected outcome. But for me, I'm forcing myself to accept the flow of life and just be more in flow, more flexible, more adaptable to the things that are occurring. Mm-hmm. So taking, accepting myself for the imperfections that I am, being more in flow with life is really important to me right now.
Yeah. Well, I want to say that in our conversations, in the book, those are probably the biggest takeaways that I've received from working with you and speaking with you and just reading your heart, especially at the end of the book, how you transition it to something that was so hard and painful in the beginning into something that was so beautiful. And I shared with you before we got on the session or on this interview that I don't have my copy of the book because I gave it away.
I can send you more copies.
I love it. I really do love this book because I was able to share it with one of my clients and a friend of mine who has similar but different journey with his dad. And I have not received feedback from him, but I know that he's reading it because he texted me and he was like, okay, I get why you shared this. But there was pain in that. But at the end, you have just brought it to something very actionable and applicable and something very beautiful and freeing. And that has been probably the biggest feeling that I've come away from every call with you is just this feeling of empowerment, acceptance of myself, acceptance of the process, which is painful for me because I am very impatient. I want to be there now. I want to be there yesterday.
Yeah.
But you've been so great with Jason and I and me specifically to help me with that process. So I know that that's a rock that you move for others, but how else? That's my next question for all my guests is how else are you moving rocks for other people?
Thank you, Karen, for saying that, because I think as we heal ourselves, we then come up with the strategies and the processes and the ideas around which we can then uplift others who are going through something quite similar. And there's a lot of power in that. There's our life's purpose kind of exists in that. And so Tiffany and I moved from Phoenix, Arizona to Cary, North Carolina 11 months ago. So we are in this process, mainly her, of opening up a champagne and wine bar. And
I saw the post. That's so exciting. And it's so cool.
Yeah.
So share the name. And you said it's in Cary, North Carolina, because I think the name is just so cool.
Yeah. So the name is called RBF, Your Authentic Champagne Bar. So it just so happens that both Tiffany and I value authenticity as our first core value, but RBF does stand for resting bitch face. And it's, most people aren't going to know that unless they're really paying attention. But the point of it is the ethos of the champagne bar is what trying to make what used to be exclusive, try to make it very inclusive. And so that Tiffany and people around her can be kind of praised and recognized for who they include, not who they exclude. Right. So
I love that.
So it's really cool to like support her through this process. Right. Because her life's journey was built upon, in some ways, the fear of judgment, right? There were other people that judged her in her younger years. So the rock that I can help her move through the process of opening this business is the fear of judgment, right? And help her to release that and help her to feel safe, help her feel loved, help her feel seen, right? No matter which way. Now, the second group of people is my family. So I'm in Cary, North Carolina. My family's in Michigan. And for the first time in 45 years, my mom and dad had to move out of my childhood home.
Wow.
So my dad's mother passed away, and that triggered a series of events of distribution of her assets. And so the house I was raised in, the house that my parents were in for 45 years, they had to move out of. So the rock that I am helping them move is literally them moving into this new house, but they're also on the precipice of retirement. And that triggers an entirely different set of belief patterns and structures about life and legacy and death and all that stuff. So I'll give you one more. I could tell you tons of stories, Karen, but another one would be for my stepdaughter, right? So before I met Tiffany, I was dating a gal for about 6 years. Her name was Hope, and her daughter, Aaliyah, I really kind of adopted her, even though both her mom and dad are still alive and well. But I realized very early on that Aaliyah was a wildly important soul in my life. And, you know, there were elements of her life and my life that were really similar, but I recognized that in order for her to get to this next level, that I could play a meaningful part by being a trusted confidant to her. Right. So in those moments where she didn't have friends or other family members that she could lean on or trust, that I could be that for her. So even though she lives in Tempe, Arizona, and I'm on the other side of the country, being a part of her life, even though she's 21 years of age, almost 22, has been such a blessing for me. So I've been able to take all these experiences that I've written about in I Know, or the things that I'm processing now, and pass them to this next generation. And it just makes me feel so great.
That's fantastic. And that says everything about your character that I want people to pick up. The relationship that you're building that you didn't have to build, but you built it because it was valuable and she was valuable. And so I know she knows this, but I hope she gets to hear this episode and hear it publicly reaffirmed how valuable she is to you. So
yeah,
that's very special.
Yeah. Thank you. She is still to me to this day. Right.
And I'm tearing up, that's so sweet.
I promised myself a long time ago, Karen, when I felt those fears of abandonment in the farmhouse in Michigan, that when I got to an age where I was educated enough or learned enough or had enough experiences, that I would show up for people in the ways I was not shown up for. And Aaliyah just happens to be this angel that came into my life 10 years ago. And I feel so much fulfillment from filling her cup as often as I can, and then receiving back from her those little text messages and those little phone calls of gratitude and thankfulness. It just hits me right in the feels.
Yeah. It has to, because it hits me in the feels, and I don't even know the kid. Young lady, she's 21 now. Tell me, because I wasn't expecting the conversation to go this way, but I feel drawn to your family moving out of the farmhouse. Like, how has that impacted you? The whole, like, are they selling the farmhouse? Is someone else moving in? Are they getting rid of all of that part of their life?
Yeah. So the way that my family's assets are distributed is that my dad has a landscaping, a lawn maintenance, and snow plowing business. And so it just so happens that there were a couple other houses associated with the ownership of that particular business. Mm-hmm. And so although the farmhouse did have to be sold in order to take care of my grandmother's will so that my dad's siblings could have a little bit of money too, my mom and dad have moved back into one of the other houses that were already owned by the business. So it's not terribly different or out there. So yes, is it difficult for my dad to have this process of being in one place 45 years, being in the middle of farm fields, this massive house, big barns, right? It's just a very big, freeing location. Yeah. But then the house that my mom and dad are now going to live in for a number of years is in town. It's a little bit smaller, not as much land. It's a little bit closer to the business. Mm-hmm. So I know that they're both struggling with it in their own way. For me, I feel good about the transition for them because I'm watching them evolve. And they both have learned little things about themselves. They found new ways to communicate that I don't think they communicated before. They've both come up with these new kind of routines and habits day to day. And as a coach, right, and same for you, Karen, is that we're always attempting to help people see parts of their past in a new way so they can feel safe to deploy new habits or routines or rituals. So part of me, and when I was last in Michigan, I said goodbye to my room, the room I was raised in. And that was a very emotional experience because all of the thoughts and the feelings and the memories that I had in that room came flooding through my mind. Yeah. But I was able to appropriately thank the space, thank the energy, do that. And it feels actually good to me that my family has made the transition to this next house because I've seen new versions of them come out. And that has been like really like meaningful for me to watch.
Yeah. Fantastic. I love that. So the transition with acceptance and how you're using all of these lessons to help Tiffany, how else are you using those three steps, abandonment, ownership, and acceptance in your practice and what you do now? Because you have the book, but you do so many other things. So I'd love for you to share those things.
Yeah, there are a number of other things that my business does do, from executive coaching to team training to organizational cultural change to speaking. There's online courses on my website. You know, I do every other week a mastermind predominantly for finance executives called the You and I Know Circle. I have a members-only newsletter that I send out once a week. So there are a variety of ways and paths by which that happens, right? So these kind of core principles of who I am, I get to live them through these different revenue streams and through these different ways that people design or desire to interact with me, right? Mm-hmm. So I realized a long time ago that as I was watching society go through the kind of beginning stages of this big change we're going through now, and I realized that I needed to meet people where they are. And so that means I needed to have a variety of ways in which people could engage my ideas. So if I'm meeting people where they are, I want to help the individuals who are genuinely at that point of transformation. Right. So I have in my book, as Kara knows, right, there's a series of processes to help somebody define what their brand is. I give them strategies to become more emotionally intelligent. I have a way for people to kind of live their identity a little bit more, or to become a better coach to other people if they desire that. So there's lots of things that I've been able to do in 11 years of coaching, and there are a variety of ways in which people can engage my ideas. I just really want to help the people that are at that point of change, and I can get them through that, right? Because I've been through so many changes in my life, I can pass forward the knowledge and the skills to be able to support them through that too.
Yeah, I love that. So as we wrap up our time, because I want to be respectful of everyone's time, and we know that 30 minutes is a great time for a podcast, they can find you on Instagram, LinkedIn as Michael Seaver, S-E-A-V-E-R. But you also have your website, which is, let me make sure I'm getting.
Yeah, no, it's Michael S. Seaver.
Michael Seaver. Michael S. Seaver. Yes. Okay. So you got to add in the extra S. Oh, yeah. Michael S. is on all of it. Michael S. Seaver.
Yeah. So michaelsseaver.com is kind of the clearinghouse or the repository for all the ideas. And so my middle name is Scott. That's why there's the second S in there. But yeah, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and some other places. But yeah, just go to most of the time / Michael S. Seaver, you'll find it. And the book I know is available Apple, Google, Barnes and Noble, Amazon, and many other places. But it's print, it's ebook, and it's audiobook. If somebody prefers to listen, they can get it that way too. So michaelsseaver.com, or find I Know at one of your favorite retailers.
Yeah, I love it. You are going to be so blessed if you get the book. And for those that come into my coaching program, it's actually one of the books that I'm going to start offering, because I just feel like it adds so much value, because I coach a lot of coaches and it really digs into some of the thoughts behind the actions that we take. And it's really easy for me to say it, but when you see the examples and you paint the examples so beautifully in there, that it's just undeniable. Okay. This is what this is. This is when I see this. Now I can recognize it.
Yeah.
And, but then I recognize it. Now, what do I do with it? You give the next step so well. So yeah. I just appreciate that about the book.
Thank you.
So rather than trying to, I love gifting books. And rather than trying to say, okay, I don't need to recreate the wheel, he's already designed it. Like, here is this beautiful wheel frame and steering wheel all together on how to take this next step. So, tell me a little bit in maybe like 1 to 2 sentences about why someone would really, because I know, but in your words, why someone would really want to be in your world. What would draw them in? What would be the one thing that they would get? Like, I feel like we just need to, because they don't know you the way that I do. And there's so many levels. Yeah. You have professional levels, and we have this this spiritual connection that that you and I have, and I love that. So, how can they get to know you in that way? What would?
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know why I'm stumbling over my words, but I want to say this right.
Yeah, no, you're doing great. I think she's right. There are multiple dimensions and levels by which people connect. And that is important to recognize. And I think I came to Earth this particular time to help people understand that all of the answers to life's most difficult questions are already inside of them. help people see the ways that we are all the same, right? Because humans have far more in common than they give themselves credit for. And the third thing is that I help people bring their most authentic soul, their most authentic self into public spaces, whether that's work or whether that's family life or whether it's that. So I'm the guy that's helping them to discover their life's deepest authentic meaning, and then to give them the safe space to express that in any place they desire to express that.
Yeah. Yep. Nailed it. Like you just said it so much better than I could have. So if you are in the corporate space or the workplace and you're just like, how do I make sense of this? This isn't fitting. This job, this purpose, this calling, this life that I've taken on just isn't fitting anymore. It doesn't make sense. It's not meeting the calling that I crave inside my heart. Those were some of the things that I was thinking when you and I met. And so if you're having those thoughts, then I believe that's a great reason to get inside Michael Sievers' newsletters and follow him on Facebook and listen to the things that he's sharing. Absolutely read it in the book, because you can read through the things that are being said, inferred, and not stated, and you'll get your messages. Yeah. Because there's power in that as well. So thank you for just coming on here, adding so much value, being just such a delight. And I just love that I get to introduce you as my friend, my mentor, my teacher, and someone that I can share with the people that I care about in my rock moving community. And now they get to be a part and follow you as well. So yeah. Michael S. Siever, you're going to want to know this guy. So follow him. And thank you so much, Michael, for being here today.
It is my pleasure, Karen. Thank you for being you.
I love it.